I mean, like, I don't even know anymore, right? It started out that we was going to do one day, and then it turned to 2 days, and then we get straight. It's the kickoff of the season. It's 9-11, right? New York Giants own. I mean, walked out with Pete Davidson on his neck on 9-11, and we got to drop straight on Sunday. That goes well. So we caught up with the Atlanta Falcons, and we're going to drop another show today. Man, I've been wanting to do a football show. I've been wanting to give us an opportunity to talk about what's going on in the season. And, like, this is what we did, right? Yeah, we're podcasters, or we do a show because, I mean, anybody could podcast. Not everybody can
pick. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now you think about where this season is, right? It's in week one. But when you look back on what we saw from week one, now headed in to week two, what are some of those things you look at and say, okay, this is a pivotal moment that could change a game or maybe change a season, Chan?
The thing that surprised me was KC, because it was a lot of bad football last week. Mm-hmm. A lot of low scores, the 17-16s and the 20-21s, and that's not where football is right now. I had to get away from that, fellas. I was that defensive guy, the 2000, you know, the Bucks and the 02 Ravens and all those, you know, those defensive teams. I loved that. That's not where football is going. You got to get up to, you know, high 20s, low 30s to even think about really competing. And what KC did, losing Tyreek and still going out there and going crazy, putting 40-plus on the board, like, that was impressive to me. I love Andy Reid, but they didn't win it last year. They're always competing. But I loved what I saw out of Kansas City Chiefs. And moving forward in the season, I think they got that thing this year.
Everything that Kansas City did was about team, though, mm-hmm. right? During the offseason, it was Tyreek this, Tyreek that. How does Patrick Mahomes rebound from not having his number one target? And it was Juju, Valdes-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think we're going to see that as the season continues. And I know you love team and you love those type of games, Freddie T. But for you, what was the pivotal moment that you saw from week one?
You know, I just want to echo what Channing said. And you actually tweeted something. You said, I'm not paying $245 million to kick a field goal. Well, guess what Andy Reid said? I ain't giving my guy $400 million and worry about somebody that left. I'm going to get a ball to the man who's supposed to have the ball. But I think what was pivotal for me, I don't know what's going to happen with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers up there. You know, they just look kind of all displaced and, you know, all over the place. And on the flip side of what happened in KC, losing their star guy, Green Bay lost Devontae Adams, yeah. He's turning along like he does, you know, and he's just a man amongst boys and what he does. And, you know, I think for him to go against I think the Chargers defense will be great this year with their additions and, you know, all of that. But Devontae just keeps churning along. They didn't win, but he's still the same guy. And I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is right now.
You know, I love the fact that you guys brought up those two teams, because those are the two teams that met on Thursday, and Kansas City did everything that they were supposed to do to show that they're still the kings of the AFC West, even though the upstart Chargers are going to be difficult to beat. And so it's great to have those two teams, and knowing that both of those teams, both Kansas City and Los Angeles, they could probably be in it when we get to the end of the playoff run in the AFC Championship, which would be crazy to have two teams from the same division. My thing is going to be Justin Jefferson. And what he was able to do with Minnesota. And here's why. He said in the offseason that he could see why Cooper Kupp was so successful in the Los Angeles Rams offense, because he got Kevin O'Connell, who was the Rams offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And you go out, you get two Tubbs, 184, the most he ever got, 9 catches. I'm sitting there like, did Green Bay not scout and know who this dude is? And what's cool is, you know, that game won't be today. It'll be a Monday nighter. But we got to talk to Darius Slay this week, and, you know, we aired that on Friday. He thinks that Justin Jefferson's the second best wide receiver in the world, right? And we know that we all agree and feel that Tay Adams is that dude. We got to sit down with him and just listen to his mindset.
I tried him. I might have to pull back on
you
that.
You apologize?
I might have to apologize to my man.
Mike, you keep moving the goalposts.
So what you feel like when you got a chance to see what Taylor did in Vegas week one? He had more yards than the entire Green Bay Packers wide receiver core.
Yeah. No, Tay's stupid. And you just change the situation you're in. And I don't know if I put too much on Aaron Rodgers, where he's Derek Carr is not Aaron Rodgers, but Derek Carr is a good quarterback. Yeah. And then seeing what Tay did, like Freddie brought up, just so early, changed the scenery, but he jumped right back in that thing and went crazy as that number one. When you're number one, you're number one. So I was just looking at Cooper Kupp. I was looking at Ja'Marr Chase. I was looking at J.J. Jefferson's a dog. And that's why I didn't know where it was. So I tried. Devontae, I apologize.
That's what I want to hear.
You are the best wide receiver on the earth. if I need a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, I want you on my team. My bad. I'm sorry.
We're talking about a pivot. That's a pivot.
That might be the first time I apologized in 20 years. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, sometimes you gotta eat your words. Speaking of eating words, Chan, we always say it. I mean, every week is Chan's gonna chant.
Yeah.
You know, and you're down in Miami, and I wanted to come to you about this. We wondered what Tyreek Hill would do to elevate Tua Tagovailoa's game, right? And what would happen with Mike Gesicki, and what would happen with Jalen Waddle. Well, to me, Jalen Waddle probably had the biggest play of the game, but it was also Mikey McDaniels in his first game as a head coach going against the GOAT. Probably no bigger disparity in wins and experience in week one other than Mike McDaniels facing the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. It's 4th-and-7. It's late in the second quarter. They throw a slant on the inside to Jalen Waddle. He goes and gets about 40 for the tub. He spins it. Everybody in the stands.
He's doing the Waddle.
Then Tyreek Hill, I don't know if you got in his ear or what. Tyreek Hill, when asked about that, said, Mike McDaniels is going to need a wheelbarrow to carry his nuts around.
Whoa.
Did y'all switch places?
Oh, you know, Cheetah got a personality. And yes, that was a hell of a call. 4th-and-7, first coach, and I know we can talk about these young coaches because there was some BS that went on in Denver with a young coach, and then there was a thing that Mike McDaniel did, believing in his team, believing in his quarterback, believing in his star players. But yeah, Waddle went for, 4 for 70. Mm-hmm. Reek went for 9 for 90. Like, that's going to be a hell of a combination. You can't double everybody, you know. You can't double every damn body. But the thing about these big nuts, and I understand the analogy my man Tyreek was trying to give off. Yeah, that took some nuts to go for it on 4th-and-7 at the 45. What's so good about big nuts? Like, why you want some big nuts? I ain't never heard a woman say, oh, he has some big old nuts. Like, what's big? Especially you got a little bitty swiper on top of it. Hey. Big old tires on a sedan. Nobody wants big tires on a sedan.
The nuts don't go through the PO.
No, they just down there. They're actually an ancillary piece. I got a vasectomy. I don't even need my nuts.
How about this, though? Mike McDaniel comes out and says that he could make it, I think, from either like Wednesday to Friday as an assistant coach without showering. And he says he can't do that as a head coach because now I guess you got to do press conferences and people got to sniff you and there's like some type of image to uphold. This dude showers less than you. Would you want to carry those nuts around in a wheelbarrow?
Them big nuts stink. That's a big stinky pig pen off goddamn peanuts nuts.
But let's talk about it. You said something that caught me because you're talking about now the nuts in the wheelbarrow. If they go for it and don't execute, then that's a different conversation, much like in Denver. Yeah. He had plenty leg. The kick was off, but he had plenty leg. And we've all said, well, you got Russell Wilson. You got to go for it. You brought him in $200+ million. Go for it. But if they make that field goal, it's a different conversation, and everybody's praising Russ. I know you've had your thing with Russ or what have you, but you wanted to see Russ cook too, right?
Oh, I would love to. And that's the thing about these young coaches like McDaniel and McVay in L.A. Mm-hmm. Bro, these young coaches are bringing a different dynamic to this game, and I love it. I love, man, believing your players, and I love what you tweeted. I ain't pay $256 million for Brandon McManus to kick the second longest field goal. Second longest field goal in NFL history, and you have 4th-and-5 with the guy that you traded. You budgeted your entire team on by giving up all these picks and all these players to bring in Russ, and now you bring the kicker on to kick the second longest field goal in NFL history.
Was this after the game? He stood by it, right? Right. He said, "This is what we do." He comes out on Monday and says, on Tuesday, I'm sorry, the day after the game, and says, I made a mistake. We should have gone for it. And not even in necessarily the hindsight way of missing it, but in looking back at it and what that moment could have meant, how that could have helped the Denver Broncos, not only that night, but for the rest of the season. I think Nathaniel Hackett, as a young coach, gets that. But I was on SVP after listening to his press conference. He couldn't catch his breath, right? The moment got too big for him. Right. And he said the 46 was where they had to get, and they got there, and he couldn't think beyond that. But I believe that comes with experience.
That does come with experience. And the thing is, what I've learned about coaching, I had three coaches in my time. Two coaches gonna be definitely Hall of Fame coaches. And the other coach, not a bad coach, but it was too much inconsistency. Mm-hmm. And I think as a head man, you gotta be consistent. You gotta be black and white with these guys, no gray areas. You say something, stand by it. Mm-hmm. But if in your heart you believe, I truly believe we should have gone for it, stand by that. But you can't straddle. Yeah. You send mixed messages to the players. And I think for these young coaches, you got to make sure you're better prepared for those situations, because if it's the 46 they needed to get to, then that's the spot. I think they were like, what were they at? The
50? They were close.
They were close to the 46. So you got to make it, but it's 4th and 5. And, you know, Seattle was defending the sticks because they knew that Denver had to get to a certain spot in order to be within their field goal range. So I think Seattle was ready and prepared for that moment, and Denver simply wasn't. And they called a play they shouldn't have.
Speaking of the moments, mm-hmm. You like to say great things about people, right? When people come on our show, you want everybody to feel loved, right?
That's like,
if we get Adrian Peterson on the show next week, you're not gonna talk about the fact that Le'Veon Bell put him to sleep. You're gonna talk about all the great yardage that he got during his career, because that's who you are, right? You're Freddie Flowers. Freaky Freddie to some, but Freddie Flowers to us. If there's a guy, when you look back on week one, and I know we've already had one game week two, when you look back on week one, who are you giving your flowers to for this week?
I mean, it's several guys that's out there that's worthy, but one guy in particular we had on the show, and a guy who's, he's been going through his challenges, right? He's been in his head, and I remember telling him, look, he's so worried about proving to everybody that he's back. But before you can do that, I say, look, you gotta prove to yourself. So I'm pretty sure you guys know who that guy is. That'll be, you know, my Freddie Flowers focus for this week is Saquon Barkley. Saquon absolutely killed it, man. What was it, 18 carries, 164, that's 9 yards per carry. Another 6 catches, 30 yards. I forget the touchdown that he had. He accounted for a third of the Giants offense. You know, I think Saquon is back. He had a 68-yarder, a 33-yarder, you know, 101 yards, just on 2 touches. So I think he's back, man, and I think he's ready. I think he knows that he's himself, right? And now he can go forward and prove to everyone else that I'm that man. So for me, Saquon would be, you know, the guy that I would give Freddie Flowers to.
I got to bring up another running back that's been on the show, actually. Leonard Fournette went crazy. Mm-hmm. He gave us a shout-out, too, on the post-game press conference. That Leonard went crazy, but, bro, that damn Minka Fitzpatrick. That Cincinnati Steeler game, and I knew you look at you over there. You always nod your head when somebody bring up Pittsburgh. Minka won the game at safety, the blocked field goal. Then, but they don't remember before that, he broke up 2-3 passes in the end zone, was making tackles everywhere in the fourth quarter and overtime. Like, you know, hey, I'm always going to give, I knew your offensive guy, Freddie, but I got to give my defensive players love. That damn Minka Fitzpatrick, there is no reason that he should have left Miami. Whatever they got for him in the trade was not worth it. That young man won a football game from the safety position. It was something that Ryan could never do. But that young man, Minka showed out. That's my, I know everything, Josh Allen and all them. A dog. Minka showed out. So when I see some defensive players that can ball, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Minka went crazy.
Minka was huge for me. I agree with you on Leonard. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not beat the Dallas Cowboys without the way Leonard Fournette was able to play and that defense on the other side. And I think I just want to say this real quick. I'm happy for Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Oh, Jameis Winston, he's down 16 in Atlanta in a huge rivalry, has a huge second half, throws 2 tubs, has a long pass down the sideline to Jarvis Landry, the lead to the go-ahead score. And I think for a guy that's been through as much as he's been through, have been doubted and talked about the way he has, it's huge to see him do that. And I love his post-game press conference to ask him, did it hurt Did you have pain? He said, yeah, it was pain. It was pain everywhere. You know what I'm saying? only Jameis Winston. You know what?
Jameis got to jump on. Jameis, you got to jump on, bro, because you was a soundbite king. You got to jump on. Yeah, let us chop it up with you. But no, I'm with you with all he's been through. And Jameis, the good and the bad, you see both of them. But if he can figure that thing out and narrow down those mistakes, man, Jameis is going to be special.
I mean, look at it this week. You think about it, man. We got Patriots, Steelers, Panthers, Giants, Jets, Browns, Colts, Jaguars, on and on and on again. When you're thinking about what we're going to see today, what are some of those matchups, or what is one matchup you're looking forward to? What's the pivot magic matchup for y'all?
The pivot magic matchup. Every team in the AFC South is either lost or tied. So I want to see who's going to take the lead in that division. I know you might be saying, well, shit, Freddie, you talking about the Texans, they ain't got nothing. You talking about the Titans, they ain't got nothing. And Jacksonville definitely ain't got nothing. And the Colts is probably the front runner. But more importantly, I want to see Jacksonville really just go and do their thing and try their best to bottle up Jonathan Taylor. Tough task. You know, maybe not the pivot matchup, but I think for me, it's a solid game. You know, I'm ready to see if Jacksonville can take that leap. So that's my matchup of the week.
My matchup is Bills-Titans, that Monday night matchup, because the Bills look so good. Everybody got them right now ranked number one, and they went out there and destroyed the Rams. I actually lost money on it. Love DraftKings, but I'm not good at it. He brought it up. I thought the Rams would put up more of a fight there, but you see them put up 31. You see them, you know, beat the Rams, and the Titans lost to the Giants, but late with Brian Daboll putting his nuts in a wheelbarrow too and going for that 2-point conversion with Saquon, which Saquon was stopped. Yeah. But players overcome coaching, because that was not a good play call, but Saquon went around those two defenders and got in. Tennessee is a playoff team from the past. You bring up the AFC South, they're a playoff team now. Right. You got Derrick Henry, you got Tannehill, they have a strong defense.
They were number one seed in the playoffs last year.
See what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying, that 0-1 start. So I really want to see if the Bills are what we saw. That first game, you don't know what they're going to do. You know, the offense, whatever they're going to do, their game plan. But now can you do that consistently? So if you the top dog, can the Bills run as the top dog all season long? And I don't think the Titans are pushover, so I can't wait for that Monday night game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be amazing. The game I'm really looking forward to, though, is Bucs-Saints. The Saints have owned Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the last 2 years in the regular season. And now knowing the Saints have everybody back, Michael Thomas seems to be in mid-season form already, especially in that second half against Atlanta. I'm picking the Saints to be a team that's a playoff contender. Playing a team like Tampa Bay and winning will show us that. Or does Tampa Tom come out and say, okay, look, what we did first week offensively wasn't good enough. We have to be better. This is the first show. This was fun. We tried to keep it short. We went a little long. I think the big thing for us is, like, to continue pushing forward, to continue giving y'all great content. Don't forget to tap in with DraftKings. And right now, we got Kyle Pitts, AJ Terrell, they got the Rams later on, but you don't want to miss what they said about this season up next.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten. The history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History,
win.
We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, man.
We're Gators. Look at us. Look at us. We're all Gators. Yay.
Hey, man, don't start that Gator shit now. You see how big this is?
Don't start that now,
RC.
Man, I'm...
We'll dive on your ass.
First off, I'm not fighting nobody young. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fight my age group. I fight my age group and my weight class.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He out of both of them.
Yeah. And his arm's long as hell. Like, I ain't gonna
thick,
win.
Thick, but he a Clemson Tiger.
Yeah, a real Tiger. You already know.
we got
you all. You all the way out, number RC.
AJ. AJ, first off, I just want to tell you, I love your game. I speak very highly of you. Mm-hmm. I also want you to remember where I was standing at the national championship in 2019.
Where you standing at?
I was on the sideline. So when Jamar kept, boom, Boom. The whole night, I was there. I was there. And I didn't even want to go there with you because you my guy. We trained together this offseason. And like you came at me, boom, boom, out the gate.
Like I said.
Wow.
The real Tigers.
It's not true, though.
They won the national championship. What was y'all last? Was Saban?
2019, I just told you when the last one was. Like, what are you talking about? This man is the best corner in the country that year.
But prior to that, though, Clemson had everything on lock for a minute.
Like 3 years, bro.
For a minute. That's a minute.
You know what we're going to do?
That's long enough.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On this vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up.
Welcome to the Pivot. This is the Atlanta Falcons edition. You guys are, you know, preparing for a game. And what happens is when you become superstars and pro bowlers and all pros and all that, like, you don't really play. You know what I'm saying? So practice and preparing is more important, especially now in the 17-game season. Welcome to the Pivot again. Like I said, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Make sure you like. Also, we're just going to continue to keep building. Like Freddie T always says, man, anybody can podcast, but not everybody can pivot. I think it's super dope to have you here. You two, best players on each side of the ball, which is odd because you going into your second year, you're going into your third year. A lot of times teams have these veterans, but there's a start to get here. And I think I want to start with you, Kyle, in this sense. You're a sophomore quarterback, right? You got everything you need, right? You're 6'6", 6'5", you're athletic, you could do all these things. What made you make the decision, though, that playing tight end was the thing for you? And obviously it works out being the fourth pick of the draft.
Well, actually, it was from my dad. My dad was saying, he was like, just try it out. He was saying, Jason Witten, who else was old back then? To just Tony Gonzalez. There's a couple other guys, and he was like, you know, you're not really, this isn't you. He told me from the beginning not to pick up a ball, and I did anyway, and they made me quarterback. But I was playing mainly defense that year, but he was like, just try it out. Just, you know, you can catch, run, do all that stuff. He was like, you know, in the end, it'll work. And I was like, all right. And then that's when I started going to camp stuff. And I never really liked playing quarterback because I knew I couldn't throw a ball more than 60 yards, you know, consecutively, so.
I read that, though. You keep saying, like, throw a ball more than 60 yards. You was 15. Like, why were you supposed to be able to throw a ball 60 yards?
I don't know. But I know a quarterback was not in my future. And I shouldn't have picked it up from the beginning.
When you started playing quarterback?
I really never had consecutive years. Like, I just happened to pick it up, and I just was, they seen me just throwing it around, throwing it, like,
yeah, so I mean,
far.
You made, and we'll get to the bad decision you made in college. But it's something dope, man, that I read about you. Your parents are high school sweethearts, right?
All right.
When you grow up in a house like that, you know what I mean? So much is made of, like, our communities and families not staying together and fathers not being in the homes or whatever it is, man, to grow up in a house. What is it? Is it six of y'all kids?
Six, yeah, including me.
Six kids, you know what I mean? And growing up in a house like that, man, when you get to see your parents who have been in love for that long, raising these kids, what was that like for you?
It's really one-on-one. Just having both parents in the house, very supportive and, you know, just the unconditional love and everything they have for us is pushing us the right way, leading us the right way. And it's just somebody to look up to forever. And, like, it's just a big, you know, big look, big picture, too.
Nah, for both of y'all, though, because you ain't had no rough upbringing. No, like, and the thing RC was saying to you, right. And it's a lot of guys, you know, when we do this all the time, the Pivot, you know, we got, 60 episodes, and we talk to a lot of people, and everybody talk about the turmoil that made them. And I played with Zach Thomas, who his dad was a billionaire, but he still had that grind. You know what I'm saying? So from a not even affluent family, but from a solid background, how do y'all be what y'all are? And like you said, both of y'all are all pro. So what is that grind? Because everybody wants to, let's dig deep and find what made them.
Right.
Y'all
y'all was good growing up. You had mom and dad. Y'all was eating every night. Like, what does that grind come from?
I feel like you don't really know nobody else's grind. You only know, like, you know, what's in front of you. Like, how your, you know, how your family and what you just grew up in and how they instill in you, like, the grind and what they expect. And it's just a bloodline thing almost. Like, when you just, like, how everybody always got their story about their family. I feel like when you look at your story and you just grow up in it, then once you go out, you know, the outside and you see everybody else growing up, it's different. But at the same time, when you just grow up with the right people in your ear, the right push, and all you need is, you know, you're just trying to put on for the last name at the end of the day. So that's how I look at it.
What about you, KP?
Yeah, I feel like kind of the same thing. Like, I don't feel like everybody needs to have, like, a sad story to try and make you have some hunger. Because it really should come from within, but, you know, not putting, you know, other people. Like,
no, stuff everybody got their own story, yeah, but yeah.
Just like, your grind is from within. Like, obviously, you know, we didn't have those hard times. So just knowing or being around the right people, training with the right people, just your parents telling you, like, hard work is the only thing that's gonna get you far in life. That's the principle for everything. So that just was something that just my parents instilled in me.
You know what's crazy about you, KP, man? Your father's name is Kelly, mm-hmm. right? And something I read about him that really struck me. So Channing was drafted in the third round. Freddie T's the 9th overall pick. You know, both of you guys are top 16 picks. I wasn't drafted at all. And so people are always asking me about, like, allegiances. You know what I mean? Like, why I rep for LSU so hard. And I always say it's the only team that I ever chose that chose me to, right? Because every team I played on, at some point, didn't want me, and somebody either cut me or they signed somebody else. Your father told you in picking a college, he said, this hat you get to choose, right? The next hat will choose you. What made a kid from Pennsylvania who, I think if I'm right, I think in the state championship had 2 tubs, 2 interceptions at defensive end, what made that kid feel like Florida was the place for him?
I feel like Florida was the place for me because I hated the cold. We just had got done in the state champ, like you said, in the snow. So it was like, nah, I was getting tired of that. I always wanted to be in the SEC. Not too far from home, but far enough. It was a nice ride on the plane. You know, I could drive home if need be. I just wanted to go somewhere and grow up somewhere else, like find a whole different type of lifestyle. And you know, you know, down in Gainesville is different. Like, Floridians are different people.
Right.
And it's like, you seen that day one, and I'm like, whoa.
Hey.
But it's
hey,
like, it's a new thing of life.
All this, though, you know.
Yeah,
you
like,
know.
They know.
Nobody care about none of that.
And we finally got him outnumbered right now.
Fact. You don't understand, RC.
And it's just growing up in Philadelphia, that's a different type of lifestyle. And then you come down to Florida where you wear flip-flops in January, and it's totally different. It's just a bunch of different things that you learn, a different lifestyle, a different how people, you know, upbringing, all type of different things. It's just, I want to try something new, and I feel like that was the place for me.
Yeah, we know a lot from Channing that there's not, like, good players in Georgia. You know what I mean?
There's some ballers in Georgia. There's some ballers in Georgia.
Is it for real?
Yeah.
I missed a lot of them. I don't
you know. New Orleans, he always want to
ask. We top three in every category.
I agree with that, and I get it. But for you, you go on to be an All-American at Clemson. When you're in Georgia, right, that's SEC country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody who grows up in Georgia has seen the Georgias play, the Floridas, the Alabamas, and knows different things. It's obviously the school that ended up getting you to this point. But what made that the right school for you?
You know, everybody got their little top six or whatever. But I had went to all my top six schools, which is, if I could remember, Bama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Clemson. I'm all SECs and one ACC.
I don't think you said LSU.
No, nobody want to go to LSU.
Okay, I was just checking.
I had went to all those schools plenty of times before I had even went to Clemson, so it's easy for me to, like, compare each school. And, you know, Clemson, you know, right up the street from Atlanta, and it was, like, a place that fit, you know, just fit where I needed to be. Plus, I came in at the right time, fresh off of Natty, and, the culture there is just a little bit different. And that's really what, you know, why I made that decision.
How'd y'all stay out of trouble? They locked me up. I was in Florida for 2 years, and I got locked up 3 times, arrested 5. How did you stay out of trouble? And Clint, like, how do y'all boys stay out of trouble? I'm looking at y'all Wikipedias, and I'm like, nan arrest.
Can't do too much at Clemson anyway.
And Clemson ain't got nothing. What? GBL got something.
Yeah, but I stayed away from it. Really? And it was different. Like, I had really 2 years of college, because that last COVID year, everything was shut down.
Yeah.
So my freshman year, you do your freshman stuff, you go out and party and stuff, but that was about it. Nothing too crazy.
You had the folk, like, you knew the end goal.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that I'm going to Florida to make it to the league. Because they used to call us a football vocational school because nobody stayed 4 years.
Oh, wow. No. I'm going to go back and get my degree, definitely. But
KP,
I had to get KP.
Just,
why
no,
man
no,
can't
no,
get
no,
his
no.
degree?
Shannon? I just, because I said that bullshit but when I left early. I left early. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go back and get my degree. And then you got millions and millions in your account. Why the fuck I want to sit in the class all day?
Because you got kids.
You can do it online.
I want to put it on the wall. I want my kid to see, man, my daddy graduated.
My daddy graduated in a $10 million house. Cool. You think of that $10 million house, your kid going to look at that goddamn diploma? Daddy graduated.
Hey, that's the one thing they going to find in the 20,000 square feet is the diploma.
They about to look at them 80-inch screens and be like, yeah, I'm going to play football.
50-50. Nah, I got to get that piece of paper. I got to walk across that state.
Nah, that's dope. It's dope to even consider it, right? Because it's one thing, it's a goal. Like anything else, it's a goal. But I want to pivot real quick and just ask you. When you hear all pros such as Tyrann Mathieu, Levante David, Tyrann Mathieu said he's different. He said it 3 times. He said he's different. He's different. You know what I mean? And then Levante David said he's going to be a headache for me. Then you got coaches saying you're a creative player. They call you a unicorn. 6'6", 245, 250, 4'4", 40, 4th pick, broke all Falcons. You broke Julio rookie records. All these comments, does that make you feel like you've arrived?
No, nowhere close, because behind all of that is one touchdown. Mm. So it's like, I think about that every practice. Mm-hmm. And like, it was times in the offseason that would like piss me off thinking about it. Just like, I can't believe that happened. But it's like, God got a different plan, and this year is going to be the year. So I feel like this whole offseason, I've been just getting right. And I just been feeling like this is going to be a great year. But not the arrive part.
They split you outside. I mean, you're a defensive coordinator's worst nightmare. You can get out there. They dictate man versus zone. They put the tight end outside. I seen you catching fade go balls against Xavier Howard, one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Why hadn't you had the red zone success? What does it take to get you to get in the zone this year? What's going to take?
I just think maybe some mental maturity. Last year, kind of I was seeing things late or slower, and I feel like the work I put in this offseason with just reading defenses, reading them quicker, running the routes differently, just at the line, winning, just, you know, winning my matchup faster. That's something that I kind of, you know, trying to hone in this camp.
Right. AJ, do you guys lock up in practice to get him ready for those looks?
Time to time. Yeah. Time to time.
What's that?
Whenever they put him out there a while, but it's always competition, you know, anytime he line up out there, because it don't happen a lot. So anytime he line up out there, we compete, you know.
Who talked the most shit? I mean,
he don't talk at all.
Yeah, I just play like, let my play speak for real. I just be out there just doing what I'm supposed to do.
He don't talk, but I want you to talk some stuff because we went to Cincinnati, talked to them boys. You know what I'm saying? We've been around, we talked to Denzel Ward. Yeah. And we talked to them dudes, bro. We got Jalen, Denzel Ward's up there. People bring up Humphrey. People bring up them corners, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Real talk, young blood. Your name ain't jumping the conversation.
First off, wait. Because I'm on the pivot, we had the conversation, had opportunity to train him.
Yeah.
And I told him, I put him in my top five this year.
Yeah.
I think the issue with him is that he plays for Atlanta, right? They didn't win. People weren't watching him on TV. But when you look at QBR, completion rate, all of those things, right. Nobody has battled and fought like this dude last year. I think, like, my big question for him is, though, it's like, how do you help this team take that next step, right? Because y'all ain't going to, the individual statistics are good, but when everybody wins, everybody gets money. You know what I mean? When you made that adjustment to become what you came, what you became last year, what's the focus for 2022 for you?
Leadership, you know, you gotta have a voice. I'm out there, of course you're out there dominating on the field, but at the same time, I feel like I just gotta turn my leadership up to a more vocal leadership, make sure everybody feel me, make sure everybody on the same page when we step out on the field that it means something. And that's where it's at, like, just, you know, like you said, the individual statistics only go so far, but you gotta bring the rest of the group with you. So it's more so on that type of side, even when I'm out there in practice, like lifting people up, you know, making them feel like, you know, that this shit is, you know, what it is. Like, come on, like, let's, you know, picking it up. Just leadership, being more vocal, and just going out there and playing together as one.
And both of y'all, RC brought it up earlier, were like, y'all were drafted to change the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You the highest drafted tight end in the history of football. You want to bring up Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, all them boys, the Jimmy Grahams, the guy, shot, all the guys that caught balls on me for years. All of them. They wrote my ass, bro.
Though you hate Tony Gonzalez.
Bro, Tony Gonzalez caught 7 balls for 80 yards in the first half on me.
that was light skin on light skin crying, too.
That was a long game.
I put my hand out. His motherfucking 8 feet past. I'm like, I can't even cope. What am I supposed to do, cope? Roll to safety. But to be as young as you talking about leadership. Mm-hmm. To be as young as y'all are and all pro and have to be those leaders, like, y'all got to lead 30-year-olds. Y'all early 20s, but y'all trying to amp up 35-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's that challenge of being a young dog that has to guide guys that have been in the league for 10 years?
I say being young and being like that scrappy dog is like kind of, I wouldn't say it's new, but it's trending in that direction now because a lot of teams are young, I feel like, especially ours. Like, we don't have many, like, 10-plus-year vets. So it's like, it comes from within. And with us all being young, our way of leading is leading by example because I'm not a big yeller. He's not a big yeller. Like, I don't think I ever heard him yet.
That's the thing, like, that's the thing. It's comfort zone.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I always just been a good athlete, always made plays, always been on the stat sheet, always, you know, always had the hype. But at the same time, it's like you can feel when, you know, everybody not on the same page.
Right.
Like, that's where I'm feeling like, okay, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But at the same time, like I said, you need everybody on the same type of time. So leadership don't got no age to it. Mm. And I just feel like you just got to turn that knob and take charge and, you know, just go out there and do it.
Atlanta's been Matt Ryan's team for a decade and a half. You know what I'm saying? Like, that junk's different now.
Right.
And, you know, you're the best player on offense. You're the best player on defense. But now y'all are in a space where your coach is entering his second year. Your quarterback, who is a former MVP, is gone. And you're coming off of a wide receiver being involved in gambling and now out for the year. And no matter what anybody says about Kevin Ridley, he can play mother effing football, mm-hmm. right? As y'all look at what y'all can be this year, like truly, and this is, when y'all look at it, are y'all competing for nothing? Like, are y'all a team, like, do you look at your team and be like, if I ball, if we all work together, we can't compete in the NFC South? Or do you come to yourself and say, I don't really know what this year's about?
I don't think anybody in the locker room compete for nothing.
That mindset don't exist.
Yeah, that's for like.
That's because y'all went to Florida and Clemson. Nah, y'all in the NFL, y'all gonna learn it's different.
100%, but I don't think we compete for nothing. Like, this team is not the same team as last year.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure you can attest what I'm saying. It's like, this, we compete, we throwing bowls every day. Like, that's just how it is now. Like, the camp was totally different this year. Like, the competitive level and everybody just being on their assignment, just being right, has been crazy. So I feel like, you know, this team is gelling way more. And, you know, we're coming into the team that, you know, Coach Smith is trying to, you know, put into us, instill in us.
So you guys are in that role, right? And we've all seen it. You know, I played 13 years, RC's played 13. And Chan, I think you got 9 on the books.
No, I ain't played 9.
Close to 9. 8?
Yeah,
7, 8, 9. It's close. Yeah.
That's not the same.
I got no.
The point is the same.
Not the same. You can't play that many years going to Tootsie's every day.
See, but that's the point.
See, that's the thing that they ain't gonna do. They ain't gonna party like I party. Boy, I used to go hard.
See, but that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm talking about you have leadership, but then you have accountability, right? Because leadership, you know, you can try and lead, but who's gonna follow, right? And you guys are in Atlanta. You know, and Atlanta ain't shy of, you know, chicken wings and Hennessy at 3 a.m.
Where like, they get it at, gonna Freddie be T.
Out. You know where they get it at.
Everybody know where they get it at. I'm going tonight.
See what I'm saying?
City.
So
whenever I'm in Atlanta, I'm going to Magic City.
How do y'all tap in, you know, to make sure these guys are accountable when you're so young? Because you got guys on the team that's 25, 28, if they're not 10-year guys yet. But they're there and they're like, man, this is what I do. This is what I need to get my mind right. This is my meditation and my stress relief. Like, Sam, he had to go see some ass in order to relax. Like, how y'all gonna make sure those guys show up and play? You know, because y'all wanna win. Yeah. Y'all wanna change the organization.
Yeah.
But how do you say, look, man, stay away from this so we can go win? Because they ain't trying to listen to that shit.
That's a challenge. You know, me, I'm from Atlanta, but everybody who know me already know. Kyle even know, he only knew me for a year going on two. Like, I'm dolo. Like, I don't be doing nothing for the outside. Yeah, I be chilling, like. And then what you just said, that's a challenge. That's a challenge for us, trying to be, you know, being new leaders to the team and trying to get everybody on the same page. It's like, that also comes with leading by example, you know, being from Atlanta and letting them know the do's and the don'ts and things like that. But that's a challenge. So that's something that we definitely got to lock into, to, you know, when new guys or vets, whoever in there, you know, letting them know, like, you know, you can do that, but it's, you know, it ain't best for the team or for you, you know, because it's so much you can get into, trouble everywhere. So you got to be smart and move properly.
But it's hard to convince those guys.
It is. I want to say that's a challenge.
On one hand, you know, look, maybe it can change the face of our organization if you try something different. But on the other hand, it's, man, this is what I do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I do. This is where we're going to be. If we win, we win.
Yep.
So, but if you guys are the young guys, you got to step it up and say, look, this is the reason we've been garbage the last X amount of years. And just go with it. Because what we know, as guys that have played for a long time, we do know that the organization brought y'all in that high for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can voice those opinions and you can throw all that other shit out the window. It's not picking sides. Like, you want to win. That's what we're here for. All of that's going
to
come.
But what about when the bad red ones call?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Like you?
No, I'm talking about the bad red ones. The girl, man, the strippers used to kidnap me. They used to say, see, you coming tonight? We'll pick you up.
They actually did not say that to you.
I used to drive to the club with the strippers and leave with them.
So you stayed till the whole shift was over?
I was on the shift, but I wasn't getting paid.
You was in there for too long.
He loved it.
No, he had to stay right there.
He was loving it.
Oh, man, listen, I used to go back and cook my own chicken wings. I want them extra crispy, leave them in the grease. Leave them in the grease.
I wouldn't say we had that many people on our team, though. Like, we don't really have... We call it rock star. Oh, I call it rock stars. Like,
right.
I wouldn't say we had too many. Like, so we're not really worried about a bunch of partiers.
Right.
I mean, if it comes, yeah, I don't really think we. I don't even know who to think of. That's like an extreme partier.
Every team got somebody.
Yeah, everybody got somebody. I had discovered them.
I don't really be out like that.
Yeah, we don't really be. Yeah. I definitely don't.
You talk about not being out like that. Your father, you know, and you're young. Freddie T and I were the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that sometimes puts different things in you, you know. Like, I follow you, obviously. Like, I love seeing your baby on the field and, you know, you got the ball out there and you're, you know, just spending the time, right? Mm-hmm. Being available, being present, you know? And obviously with the way you've grown up, I'm sure that became important to you because of the things that you've seen. How does that motivate you though, when as it pertains to your career?
How does what motivate?
Being a father, being able to show that example, being able to provide.
It means a lot. Like I said, just from my dad, you know, showing me the way, and then me having my third, you know, it's like, you know, he looking up to me. So you automatically get that image where you just in that drive where you just want to be the best example, you know, and we ain't lame or nothing like that. You know, I do this, that, and the third, but it's at a minimum. So me just, you know, having my head on straight, having tunnel vision and all those things, you know, the bigger picture is always right there. And that's how I look at things. Like, I'm not too shabby on missing out on this party, missing out on that, because it's always going to be there. It's going to be there forever.
Just to echo RC talking about your son, was there ever a moment, was there any hesitation in naming him the third?
Oh, no hesitation. No hesitation. Only because I know how powerful my name is. Like, it's unique. My original name is Andale Terrell, so it's unique, and it's like something that he can take on and just soar with it. It ain't no, you know, come from no bad side. Like, it's powerful.
Well, he got to keep up with daddy now, though.
Who? Your son?
Yeah. I got a third. My son is named Randolph Channing Crowder III as well. And now every time he plays a sport, every time he goes baseball, he a monster now in sports. But when he says next up to bat, number 52, Channing Crowder, everybody started looking over at the visitor section because they hear the name.
Right.
So have you ever thought about that?
I didn't think about that till just now. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's coming up quick. It's coming up quick.
Yeah.
So I already know that junk coming up, but it's gonna mean the world, like hearing your name being called, but it's, you know, for your younger seed, and he gonna be ready for whatever sport it is, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure he play every sport. Yeah. You don't know his calling, but he gonna be a competitor for sure.
That's crazy you say he gonna be ready. I'm looking at your sleeve right here. I only see the bottom part. It says ready. What's on the top?
It say war ready.
War ready? What does that mean?
It just means, you know, and wherever, and just war ready. Like, I had got it my sophomore year in college at Clemson, but it just means, you know, in any given day, any given time, just war ready, like, for anything, whether it be for the family, for football, or just life.
It's interesting talking to AJ, him mentioning his son and those things. And, like, one thing for us on this show is we're all fathers, right? We're all very present fathers, and I think we work to show that it doesn't matter what you do for a living, it doesn't necessarily matter the color of your skin, that love is love when it comes to raising our children. And everything I read about you in preparing for this interview, it was your pops. And even on draft day, like them saying, if you would have asked Kelly Pitts years ago, would Kyle be here, he could have told you. What was it like having somebody so supportive? And like you said, like when you moved to tight end, he took you to every possible camp you could go to. What is it like having somebody in your corner that believes in you so much, he makes you believe in yourself?
It's everything, because honestly, when I was younger, I feel like he was being that hard dad. And I'm like, it was not how it was now. So it's like everything has changed. Like, he was like, me and him talked about it, like, I think it was right after the draft. It was like, I was like, I appreciate everything. It was times where I couldn't go to certain parties, times where I couldn't hang out with certain friends, or he'd be like, I don't think you should be with them. Like, I always stayed around older people or sports. Like, I always was doing something. So he was like, everything was for a reason. And it's like, now looking back at it, you look at your Instagram, you see some of your friends from high school, and you're like, damn, that's what they look like now? And it's like,
boys beat up, man.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm glad my dad did what he did. And just the support system, all the training we did, everything, I feel like it's paying off.
So when they say you're not a tight end, you're just a big receiver, like, do you feel some type of way, or do you embrace that?
I definitely embrace it, because everybody want me to be a stop, like, regular 6'5", 265 tight end who's slow and can't do anything. But I feel like I bring on the unique part of being a tight end, being 6'5", 248, 250, running faster than most receivers. And it's like, I feel like I've been getting stronger in the run game as well. So being able to be versatile is like, yeah, people are going to say that, but it is what it is. I'm going to show you what I really can do.
This is what I want to know. They got you ranked the number 91st in the top 100 going in 2022 this year. It is what it is, or they got it wrong?
I'm going to say statistically it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like I'm there for a reason. I feel like if I had scored a couple more touchdowns, I'd have been a little higher, but that's just a start, and I feel like I'm making a significant jump this year.
You know, I got to ask you, KP, because I love you to death. You know I'm a Gator. You done won me a lot of money in the past, too. So I owe you something. I got something on me, too. I brought some money.
He got way more money than you.
I can't shoot him 100?
He don't want that. He don't even go to the strip club and eat wings.
$100
$100, but I'm going to shoot you 100. I don't want a good thousands off him in Florida. But from Florida to now, bro, you ain't blocking nobody.
I disagree.
You choking people out.
If you really turn on the tape, it's like, obviously, I'm not like the goal line, Jason Witten.
You ain't rooting nobody out there, yeah.
No, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But it's on the way. I've been getting right, getting stronger, like year one, year two. This isn't like college where you're grinding for the next level. We're at the highest level. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you either gonna get right or get left. And I'm not getting left. So I'm gonna figure it out. So this whole offseason, I weighed a lot more, got a whole lot stronger, and I've been moving people in camp.
You've been moving people. And the other thing, too, on the backside of that, because I criticize you for being a tight end, but the highest paid tight end right now makes $15 million. The highest paid receiver makes $30 million. Mm. So as an all-pro, your contract going to be up here in a second. Mm-hmm. Should you be paid as a receiver or a tight end? Because that's double the money.
Mm. That's going to be a David Mongetta question. I can't answer
like
that
Freddie
one.
Said, you can flex out, but you are classified as a tight end.
David might have some up his sleeve.
Yeah.
So I mean.
I want my numbers to be better than both for numbers. So it's it's going to be hard. You're going to have to pay me however.
You're going to get double. You get 45 a year.
That's not how it works, Shannon.
God willing.
That's not how it works. Le'Veon Bell is going to be paid as a running back and a wide receiver, and he had to sit out. That's just not how it works. AJ, you've been a part of it. Kyle's only had one head coach. You know, you've had to make the switch. You know, now you guys have you have Arthur Smith, mm-hmm. and you know you're in the NFC South with Dennis Allen, who's a new coach. Todd Bowles, who's a new coach, obviously Matt Rhule in Carolina. What's the confidence you have in Arthur that he has the understanding and the plan to make you guys not only competitive, but to give you an opportunity to win this year in your division?
All right, he's been down to earth since day one. You know, we got he holds all of us to a standard. Like from the start when he first came in, he holds everybody, no matter if you, me, Grady, Marcus Mariota, or the undrafted guy, everybody held to the same standard. And, you know, he don't look past anybody. So, you know, he got us all motivated in that way and got us all on the right path that way. But as a coach, you know, he got great energy coming in. And like I say, he just got all our heads on the right path. He's a winner. You know, he also got Coach Dean Pease.
Yep.
You know, so we got the right you know people in the system and on the staff. And like I said, like y'all said, with me and Cal, we just gotta knowing all the power we just lost this off season and you know all that type of stuff. We got a lot coming in this year as well, so we just gotta you know just go out there and just compete, make plays, and it all work out.
One, Channing says it all the time, and it's actually not true. Channing got this saying, he's like, everything always works out because he's always effing up, right? And then we're always trying to figure out ways.
Then you wake up the next day and it's fine.
To make things happen. Kyle, like, you know, you two are sitting here because the only way things work out is if y'all two get them done, right? It's going to be Sundays where they're like, AJ, we can't help you. you got to go win. There's going to be Sundays where it's like, KP, like, that's your matchup. If you get a corner, this is the route, right? If we get a safety, this is the route. Are you ready to, or how do you take that next step from being the guy that's talking about being 91st and only having the one tub to being the dude, like, bro, you don't get drafted fourth at tight end to be good.
Right.
You get drafted fourth at tight end to be a Hall of Famer. How do you start taking those steps?
Just gradual growth. Just trying to chase progression, not perfection. Just each year, just trying to do something a little better. Obviously way better from year one to year two, just to keep being consecutive, just having those years where I'm staying up, not being, you know, rocky, being stagnant. So just that competitive excellence, just if he does say, I need you to go win this ball, all right, let's do it. Like, I'm gonna tell him, let's throw me this. He can't guard me. I've been toasting him all game. So just having that confidence and like that, just manly, want to take the game over. That's something I'm starting to feel like, you know, it's coming into me slowly, and that's just how I'm feeling.
So you come into the Wednesday meeting, right? And I remember how it used to be, because I played safety, so I ain't really had to trip on it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you put the game plan in, and they like, oh, this week we got Cincinnati. This week we got Minnesota. This week we got Los Angeles. And they're like, oh, shoot, you got Cincy, you got Jamar. Oh, we got Minnesota, you got Justin. You know, we got Los Angeles, you got Cooper. We got Las Vegas, you got Devontae. On and on, because that's where you are now.
Right.
Right, like that's the conversation you're in. That's the conversation that gets you paid. That's the conversation that gets you gold jackets. Is there anybody in the league on a Wednesday morning, your DC comes in and says, you know what, AJ, man, like, that's your dude. And you like, coach, I get some help? Or anybody they put in front of you, you feel like that's you?
There's no question. Like, I'm ready for all challenges. Like, when we walk in there on Wednesday, I would feel disrespected if it's any other type of look or way, you know what I mean? Going in, like, me going into the season, I already know, you know, my matchup or, you know, week to week. Like, I done already diced down the whole schedule, respect all my opponents, but that right there don't, like I said, it'd be disrespectful to not think that I'm not following the one.
So who you looking forward to seeing? And you said you got them, bam, 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 bam. Who's the guy that you like, hey, this week?
It's the whole, we got a lot of on our schedule. Like, I'm just looking for it every week. We got week one, we got the Saints, we go to the Rams, we got Seattle, we got Cleveland.
So we got right now we Michael Thomas, ooh, we Cooper Kupp, we DK Metcalf. Yeah.
Mike Evans twice.
Yeah.
Mike twice.
Right. Big plate.
Big plate. Ball, for sure.
So I'm gonna hit him with this. I got one for each of you, because I know we got to wrap up, you guys. Yeah,
they got work, I'm situated. Sorry. I get carried away.
So I'm gonna hit you with this, AJ. Downtown Willie Brown, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson, Ty Law, Darrell Revis. You know what they all got in common?
Jacket.
Minus one. Darrell hasn't got a jacket yet. But aside from that, you know what else they got in common?
What they got in common?
They wear number 24. Mm. They got a lot on their plate.
That boy Freddie T be searching.
You ready for that?
Yeah, 24, yeah, yes, sir.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
Then on the flip side for you, we talked about Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski.
Gates, got to throw Antonio.
Antonio Gates. Yeah. Now you got Travis Kelce. Mm. You know, these
Kittle.
Guys.
Kittle.
Darren Waller.
Darren Waller. Ooh. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
What, saying those names, what does it mean to you?
Competition. Like, I mean, year two, then year eight, or year nine, year 10. Like, I feel like just seeing them at this young age is, I need to go beat that.
So the bar is high.
The bar is high. There's some great tight ends in the league right now.
Both of y'all, do y'all watch the current guys, or do y'all go back and watch the old guys? Like, will you watch Antonio Gates? Will you watch Champ and Deion? Or do y'all just watch the current guys?
I'd say a mixture, because the game wasn't the same.
For sure, it's a mixture.
Yeah. Well, man, listen, I love it, man. I think, like, for us as old heads, you know how it's always cool to feel valued, right? Because, like, eventually, like, you get to a point and you realize you can't do what you once did, but we get two dudes like you to sit down with us, just chop it up, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not coming on here with an agenda. And if we had any plan, the plan is to show you to the world the way we see you, man. So we appreciate your time, bro. Like, we know what it's like right now. Hell, I'm damn near part of the family with the way I fool with Dave, man. But we appreciate y'all. Ball out, man. Oh, and, yeah. And remember this too, dog. Like, I think the thing that you gotta remember is it doesn't just roll over. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you were great as a rookie, because you were great in your second year, that doesn't mean the next year is gonna be exactly the same or the adversity won't be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, prepare yourself to face that and be better than that. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get 13. That's how you get the gold jackets you want. That's how you get the money you want, is the fact that whatever is there, whatever is put in front of you, you've prepared yourself, even if indirectly, to be better than that. You know what I'm saying? And I think both of y'all have the potential to be one of the best to not only do it at your position, but to ever do it, period. Man, take advantage of that. You don't get it back. Yeah, we appreciate y'all, boys.
You said it, baby.
That's a word.
Progression.
Appreciate y'all, boys.
Not perfection. Boy, I'm going to steal that.
That's going to be a Freddie T-ism.
I had to pull out the red and black for y'all, boys. I'm trying to represent.
I'll take the charge. I'm going to get right this way and take the charge.
Man, he going to toast you up so quick. That shit is dead off the jump.
From year one to year two, I did this. The year three is going to be the next step.
Right. It's like
Right. Madden at awareness.
Exactly. You got to understand, too. People going to game plan you different.
Double team.
Yes, you see what I'm saying? It's going to be like, okay, we got AJ now, we got a motion. Get him in off coverage. We got to put him in combo coverages. You know, the same thing for you. Okay, Kyle split out. Here's the route combinations. Here's what we get. This is how we're going to play it.
And I think. You imagine this NFL.
What are you talking about?
The new league?
I can break that.
Man.
Have you seen his left hand?
You got to catch that.
He had great hands.
He got a one-handed teeth tape.
He's very.
A highlight reel just on one-handed catches.
Freddie T, I don't care nothing about that.
We tucked in. I'm a Gator, so I'm always like.
I don't care.
I got to see him
shine.
I
don't care nothing about that film. I don't care nothing about the rules.
I'm going to show you some highlights.
Chad, I'm
a
whole real
down the scene.
No, he mismatched for sure.
Down the scene.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Get my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On a mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Get my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On a mission.